in verse 33. And he found a certain man, and he's speaking of Peter here. He found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed for 8 years, and he was sick of the palsy. So God put within Peter's heart to look for somebody, and he ended up finding him. He found him. You know, and just think about that just for a little bit. God puts on our hearts to go look for someone too, with a purpose. God has a purpose for this person. God has a plan in this person. He wants to touch somebody, and he uses us to go and look for him and find him. Isn't that amazing? What are you looking for today? What are we really looking for? I mean, to be tapped into the Spirit of God and to be Spirit-led during our day opens up opportunities for us to look and to find people that God has something to do. God wants to touch somebody in a certain way, and he uses us to do it as vessels. And he found them. He found him. Remember when Jesus was first in the scene in his first public ministry? He found Philip. The Bible says he found Philip, and then Philip found Nathanael. All these things of people looking and finding people, and for one purpose, to come and see and to come and hear. God's going to speak to you, but I want to find you. I want to tell you about this. To be used by God to find people. Amazing. Amazing. We can't be so condensed into our own little world that we forget to seek and find people. Christ sought and found us to seek and find and to save that which was lost, which was his whole missionary journey. And then, of course, then to die once that took place. But he says, but Peter found this guy. And maybe he wasn't found in the condition that he thought he was going to look like. You know, sometimes when God puts somebody on our heart, we don't even know what we're looking for. What am I going to find when I do find this? And how am I going to know this is the one you want me to talk to? And it's all on that overall, you know, finding and just preparing our hearts to be sensitive to the Spirit, to be led to start looking. Looking in different directions. Not looking inwardly. Start looking outwardly. Mm. Stop looking inwardly. When you start looking inwardly, you're going to find a lot of problems. We are one messed up group. Stop looking inwardly. Look outwardly or look upwardly. Never look inwardly. There's too much going on there. You know, too much problems will be brought to the surface when we look at our inward problems. So we look upwardly to God and we look outwardly to man, because we have a message. And Peter had a message for him. God gave him a message, said, you're going to go find this person. You're going to go looking. And then when you're looking, I'll tell you when you find them. I'll tell you when you find them. And in this case, this gentleman was in bed, it said, for 8 years. 8 years he was in this condition. He wasn't in this condition before 8 years. Just happened the last 8 years. The last 8 years he was in a condition that confined him to his bed. And the Bible says that he was sick with palsy. He was paralyzed. Unable to move. This was the condition that God said, I want you to go find this. And it happened to be in a place called Lydia. That's where he found him. That's where he found him. But he was in a condition of palsy, paralyzed. And palsy at this time in Scripture was uncurable. It was a disease that was, there's no, even today there's very little cure, I think, right? But here, no cure at all. None whatsoever. This is going to be now the rest of his life. He was in this position for 8 years, and it's going to be however the rest of that life is. It's going to be for that full period of time. He's going to be in that condition. And I want to think of this as not a physical thing now. I want to turn this and make, and I want you to consider this as a spiritual thing. Spiritual palsy. Spiritual palsy. You know, a lot of us who are unsaved, if a person's spiritual condition is without Christ, they have spiritual palsy. They're in an incurable position. They might be fine physically, but spiritually the Bible says that they are dead and they need Christ. And there's only one cure, and that cure was Jesus Christ. He cures this. He cures our spiritual condition. He died upon the cross, and the sins of the world, sin is an incurable situation. It's incurable. Doctors can't cure sin. Where are you going to operate? You going to operate on your heart, Andy? Is that going to cure the sin problem? They wouldn't. Psychiatrists can't treat sin. They can treat symptoms, but they can never treat sin. Where are you going to start? Where are they going to start dealing with the root of the whole nature that is death, which is sin? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So how do you cure that? How do you cure that spiritual disease or sickness? Jesus Christ did it by dying on the cross. All the sins of the world were placed upon him. And he overcame death through this faith obedience in Romans 1:5. So that's the unbeliever. So there's hope for that unbeliever. Person here doesn't say if he's saved or unsaved. It does say that the whole town, after God healed him, that the whole town came to him. So let me just read 34 and then we'll continue. Look at this. It says, "And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he rose immediately." The word whole here in the original Greek is an amazing word, because it's got like 5, 6, 7 different meanings, depending on what word is used at that time. This word here is iomahi, and it means cure. So it's Peter was saying, be cured. An incurable physical disease, he says, be cured. Now, Jesus Christ also cures the spiritual palsy, the spiritual paralyzing, by saying the same thing, just be whole. Just be whole. We always look. We always look for a healing physically, and then I'll believe. Yet the most important healing is an inward healing, is the spiritual healing. That's what we need to have, is this spiritual healing, because even if you're healed physically, one day you still will die. You know. So the only thing it's doing is it's prolonging the inevitable and giving you a little bit more. But a spiritual healing becomes eternal. It becomes an eternal factor. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. The spiritual palsy, spiritual paralyzed, can also happen to a believer in Christ. Now I want to talk about the believer. And this is a person. Now, again, this guy was for 8 years in this condition. Some of us have spiritual lapses for long periods of time. We're just coming to church. We're just doing our thing. We're just going through life. And there's no life being interjected into the body. There's nothing that is changing that individual. And it's because they have spiritual palsy. They're just lying in bed. There's nothing penetrating them. They've lost sight of the Bible. They've quit reading the Bible. They've quit coming to church. They've quit praying. They've given up on things. Oh, God doesn't love me no more. He doesn't do anything. But if you are saved, you are saved forever. But our problem is we're still living in the death. We're not living in the life. Life springs forth out of death. And we're living as we are still unsaved. Mm. We're still living like we're in the world. We're still living with all these problems every single day that are mounting, and one falls off and another one is added, and we don't see this victory within people's lives.
Yes.
And they become immobile, and they become distant, and they draw away from God, and they'll blame it on the church, they'll blame it on whatever. And it's like a spiritual palsy. It's like a spiritual palsy. It's where my spiritual capacity is out of shape. I'm not getting anything from the messages no more. They're not touching me no more like they used to. We're becoming familiar. We're becoming familiar with each other. We're becoming familiar with the Word. And this should never be. Never be familiar with another Christian. Never look at them according to the flesh. Never have a capacity of familiarity with the Word. Let Him teach us fresh every time. And, you know, I'm thinking of what causes people to fall away like that. And what causes them to, you know, stay out of the Word. Because the new creation needs to be fed. The Bible feeds us. And if we're not being fed, we can fall into this spiritual palsy. And, you know, think about that. It's like a spiritual breakdown. It's a spiritual collapse. It's like your body collapses. Spiritually, you're doing the same thing. Spiritual isolation, spiritual numbness, spiritual deficiencies. It's all a spiritual thing. Because that's only what matters. Because the spirit man is eternal. The temporal man, like we learned, remember, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman will not have no heirs or inheritance with the son of the free. Remember with Abraham?
Yes.
Try to make the promise out of the flesh. Yes. We can't have a son. Let's go to Hagar. Let's go to the flesh. We'll make the promise of God through the flesh. And flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh is dead according to God. It's an enemy of the spirit. Your flesh is an enemy, and this is why we need death. But death is not final the way that we see death. Out of death springs forth life. Out of death is resurrection. Out of death is the promises of the seed starting to grow. Now look at this. So the man's laying there, and even if you're in the condition of being dry spiritually, I'm talking physically, I'm talking spiritual dryness, because we go through that. We become numb. And sometimes we're just playing the game. You know, I go to church on this day, I come back home, I go back to church. You know, and our religion becomes, you know, becomes a cycle like work. You know, like we drive to work. How many people drive to work? They don't even pay attention because they know where to go. You know, it's automatic. We're on cruise control. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be familiar
yes.
with anything that God is doing. Mm-hmm. because you miss God speaking to your heart saying, can you find this one for me? I've got a word for them. And that word is stand up and walk. You know, you've been lying for 8 years. You've been in this spiritual palsy for 8 years. Just playing church. It's no life playing church. There's no life playing religion. We need that relationship with Christ. We need it to be strong in our lives. He's alive. Out of death springs forth this life. So he says, Christ makes you whole. And whatever you're going through now, even in any type of spiritual palsy, I just want to let you know, Christ can still make you whole. Christ can make you whole. Let him touch your heart. Let him speak to you. Open up and just start trusting in God in all these areas. Get up again. Get up again. This is what he told this guy. Get up. Take your bed. Take it with you. Don't lie upon it. Don't rely upon the bed. You take that bed up. Start walking. Start going on with God. Allow God. Now I was just thinking. Let's do this now. One of the greatest things to help us in a condition like this, of course, is God's word, and understanding what that word does. So let me give you three or four things, about this word that tells us to get up. That tells us, that we don't need to lie there in our condition. We love to lay on our bed of palsy because in that position is where we feel sorry for ourselves. And God is saying, you've been found. Don't keep laying there. Don't keep laying in your circumstances because it's death. There's no life that comes to you by laying there and talking about how you were mistreated. There's no life there. I'm sorry. It's sad. It's a sad story. But life comes through the Word of God. So let me give you four of them here. The first thing that the Word of God does, it gives you impact. It impacts your life. It impacts my thinking. The Word of God, a saturation of the Word of God, changes my thinking. It changes my thoughts. It changes the way I think about others. It changes the way I think about God. I've got a new mind. I don't have my old mind. The old mind cannot produce life. The new creation, the new mind, the mind of Christ, is nothing but life. It's a flow of water just flowing to the areas of my body and soul that need watering. If I don't get watering, I dry out. If I dry out, I have spiritual palsy. That's what it's like. The muscles have no fluids going to them. It's just dry. It's just dry. It's brittle. It's painful. There's nothing left. It's deteriorating. My mind starts, it starts to impact my thinking, my thoughts. I start to think about God's grace. I start to think about my identity in Christ. Yeah. I start to think of who I am. The Word does all this for me. It reshapes and retrains my thought process. And in America, we need to start rethinking, folks. We are really going down some slopes. And there is even no snow on those. You're on a ski slope, but there's no snow. You're tumbling. You're tumbling. And we must pray for our country. We must continue to. But it happens as my mind starts to rethink because the Word of God is impacting me. And once my mind changes, my functions of life change with it. I start to pray for others. What am I doing? I'm praying for others. I'm not looking at my own problems. I'm now concerned about others. I'm praying for others. You know, I'm looking out for their interest. The second thing it does is the Word of God influences me. So two eyes, impact, influence, right? The Word of God influences me. And it does that through the character of who God is. I start to be influenced because as I'm in the book, I'm learning all about God. I'm learning about His love. I'm learning about His forgiveness. I'm learning about the mercies that Jake prayed about. I start to learn about these things. You know, what God taught me last year is going to be totally different how He teaches me now. Same doctrine, same principles, but living. Mm-hmm. And I need this insight. I need insight into God and into His Word. It's this, the character is produced within me. And it must be produced in me before it can be produced through me. So God's character starts to be produced in me. And I start to learn what it is to have the mind of Christ. I start to learn what it means to be a servant, how to lay down my life, how to take up my cross. The average believer sometimes doesn't learn these things, and it's because their Christian spiritual life is just stagnant. It's drying up. And God and Jesus saying, come to the well. Come drink freely. Come and buy. You don't need no money. Come and drink and come and buy and learn of me and take on my yoke. Hey, I'd rather take on Christ and you know, learn of Him, then learn of all my problems. Do we want to relearn my difficulty of last week? Why do I want to keep visiting that? You know, why do I want to keep my mind and my thinking still in that situation? Let's learn about Christ. Let's learn about Him. Be influenced. The third one, number three is, so we got what? Impact, influence, insight. Third eye is insight. The Word of God gives me insight. Gives me this amazing insight into my life. And this is about, I have insight to every spoken word. God opens this book where the natural man can't understand it, and He opens up the volumes, and I have insight into the heart of God. I can learn what God is saying and what He's speaking to in my life. This gives me amazing insight. And then something happens. Something automatically happens when I start to get insight into God's Word. I start to be transformed in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm starting to be transformed. The Word of God starts to transform me. Little by little, I'm learning more about God. How much, like Cassandra did, how much He loves me, how much He cares for me, how much He's going to take care of me and provide for me and be with me. And I get to walk with Him and I get to hear from Him. And so I'm being transformed. You know what transformed means? And here's the thing. In Romans 12, 1, it says that you're either going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the other option, you're going to be conformed to the world. That's your choice. The Word of God transforms me, which means as I'm being transformed, I'm moving so far away from being conformed. I'm being moved farthest away from that distance because that world system has no play within me no more. I don't care about it. I only care about the new man and being transformed in my thinking and in my mind and in my process. Now I can deal with these areas of my life that are troubling me. But not until I come to this point. The other side of that is If I'm not transformed by the renewing of my mind, this world is going to conform me to how it wants me to think. And what happens is then the transform and the confirmation starts to shrink and it starts coming closer together. It's now even starting to overlap each other. And that's why I can go to church on Sunday, but I can live any way I want in the world because the transformation has never taken place. And spiritually, I'm drying up. And spiritually, I have palsy. Because the world is conforming me. The world is telling me how I need to live as a Christian. And it's called religion. There's no life there. There's no body, and it's all just spiritual deadness. You know, there's no life. There's no life in it at all. You know, me and Pastor Keith, and boy, we did a good job of walking, by the way. Mm-hmm. We put on a lot of steps, you know. We were walking and we were talking about the Word of God, and it was just amazing. And we went into this park, and it was beautiful, beautiful park. And all of a sudden, we hear like these parrots, you know, and we look up, and it's a crow. This crow was pretending to be a parrot. This crow did not know its identity. It didn't know it was a crow. It thought it was a parrot. And sometimes Christians think the same way. We're Christians, but we think we're still in the world. We still have to live that way. We still have to live the way I was brought up or taught all these years. No, this word is new and it's fresh, and God will unveil amazing pages. We're in the book of Acts. That book is still being written today. It's just written on your lives and in your hearts. If not, we have to live according to a story the way they did things? No. The Spirit of God is fresh. It gives me this new insight. It gives me insight to God, to experience God, to live how He wants me to live in a life of amazing victory. And then the last I is inspire. So we got four I's, right? We got impact, influence, insight, inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All scripture is inspired. Not some of it. So that means when we can read this book, God is going to speak to you personally by inspiring you in the volumes of this book. Inspiration. So what does that mean to us? You know, what does it mean when all scripture is inspired? All scripture is inspired. And it says for a few things. It says it's profitable, right? It's profitable for teaching. This word is or doctrine, right? King James is the word doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, right? The book reproves us, it corrects us, and then instructs us in righteousness. It instructs you in righteousness. So, you know, the thing is we don't like to be corrected. Nobody does. And this doesn't mean a pastor up at here saying, you better do this or else. I know what you guys are doing. You know, that's not correction. That's not correction. This word is to restore. To restore gently those that have fallen. You know, and this is not condemnation, it's correction. It's not condemnation, it's conviction. Conviction is good. Condemnation, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus in Romans 8:1. It's not about being condemned or John 8:2. It's not condemnation, it's a correction. And I'm saying, God, how do we correct? because this is written to Timothy, it's written to pastors. Juan, you like to correct people?
No.
Oh, it's we don't like it. But listen, here's a great meaning. This is what God gave me in the command. Correction means just bring that person to the light. It's so wonderful. You don't have to expose what they're doing or they're not doing. Just give them the light. Give Christ is the light of the world. Just allow the light, allow the human, the Holy Spirit to illuminate truth within the inner parts of man. Just bring them to the light. Hey, if you consider this verse, you know, and let God deal with them. God can deal. We don't need to tell people their faults or what they're doing. They know it already. Why do you want to keep bringing that up within their life? You know, we love to point out everybody else's faults, you know. And that's what he said to the Pharisees. You know, you're worried about the speck in somebody else's eye. You've got a log in yours. You know, amazing. It's really amazing. So just bring people to the light. It becomes gently. And then the last thing here, and we'll close with this, is instruction in righteousness. Now, what is that? How do we instruct people in righteousness? Righteousness, by the way, is a gift, right? Righteousness is a gift in Romans 4. It's imputed. It's imputed to you. It's been put upon your account by Christ without you even knowing it. It's an accounting term. That he says, I'm going to credit you this, but I'm not this. It doesn't matter. Christ is. I'm crediting you this. I choose to pick you, and you're righteous. Well, I don't feel righteousness. Well, righteousness is not a feeling. It's a gift, just like grace. So when we instruct people in righteousness, it means we're going to continue to remind them that they are right. Standing right in God. That's what it means. I stand in the gift that God gives me. Doesn't mean I am, because I'm not going to see that when I look in the mirror. When I look in the mirror, I am going to see my past, my shortcomings, my failure, all that. But when God sees me, he sees his son. And that's imputed righteousness. It becomes a gift. So we instruct people. We instruct people that they are righteous, that they are holy. We instruct people that they are children of God, that they are saved by grace. We instruct people that God will never leave them and never, never forsake them. We instruct them in these things. We instruct them on their identity of Christ.
Yeah.
We build them up of who they are in Christ, properly instructing them, never correcting, never... You know, that's not what these words mean. So those are your four eyes, right?
Five.
Huh?
Five.
Identity.
Okay.
That's a good one. So, you know, this is all that the Word of God does within our lives. And all that together gives us hope. Hope comes from the Word. Faith, right? Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from the Word. All these things then come from the Word of God. And again, if you feel like you're dry spiritually, wore out, you're just tired. I mean, because we get like that, especially when you feel that like we're doing everything of the church, or really are doing everything, you know. But you can get burned out. You can get wore out. The average pastor lasts 5 years. Spiritual burnout. Spiritual palsy. Not that he doesn't have a call on his life. Not that he's not a great pastor or teacher. He's been burnt out. Musicians the same way. The singers, they go through the same spiritual attacks in their life. We must become spiritual refreshed. And just keep listening to the words. Stand and walk. You know, you've been found. Stand up, take your bed, and walk. Be made whole. That's what God tells us. Be made whole. Amen?
Amen.
Keith, if you can come forward. And Let's do the offering, and then we're going to do communion, and then our wrap. If you can make it. So pray for the offering first.
Wow, after such an amazing word like this, how privileged are we to